You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My mother was a grieving widow of four, and she decided to cross the border to Mexico and had an abortionist attempt a DNC procedure. I was probably about 12 to 15 weeks in gestation, and it failed. She thought it was a success, but they are presuming that it was probably a twin, and I was born later that year.
That is a powerful story of one child who survived an abortion, an attempted abortion. This is June 27th, 2022. We are live streaming as usual at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, one word, and it'll take you right to the studio. Glad to have you join us live or watch later on the Rumble podcast. It'll be available later today. And, of course, all of our programs, after we finish, do go up as podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Very simple to remember, LarryConnorsUSA.com. We're also available on every platform, but I prefer you use LarryConnorsUSA. So the fallout continues from the abortion ruling the other day of the High Court deciding basically that Roe v. Wade would not be the law of the land. And I wanted to start with that abortion survivor because she's one of three that appeared on Fox over the weekend. You have to understand what the intent was. As you heard her say, her mother was grieving. Didn't say exactly why. Indicated she was a widow and maybe didn't want to carry the man's baby. She didn't get into great detail. But there is an abortion survivors network. There are women and men in it. Some of them have had extensive injuries and deformations they've had to deal with, but they say they prefer life, and some have not only had their own lives but given birth to others. And the other part of the story is some have been so traumatized by what they went through, then they either abort or attempt to abort. You do not want to miss that part of the story coming up later in our second hour. We have no major violence reported over the weekend, despite the threats to burn down the Supreme Court. And numerous Catholic churches were being told, in fact, they said they were going to follow the Homeland Security Directive, that there might be a night of rage targeting churches and pregnancy centers. Some pregnancy centers were targeted with graffiti. No masses, church mass, were interrupted. But an historic Catholic church in West Virginia burned to the ground this weekend. They're looking at it as arson because they haven't been really using it for services for decades. Stopped it actually back in 1984 to declare it a historical site. So someone thought, I guess, it would be good to burn that part of history. It didn't happen by accident. The threat still remains real. Consider the vile, the slanderous remarks that were leveled against Kavanaugh during his hearing. The attacks that Justice Barrett would be a slave to her religion. Well, we know Biden and Pelosi are not. Abortionists, of course, want all this about Trump, not the Constitution, but about Trump and the appointments he made to the court. Elections do have consequences. I remind you, when Hillary was running against Trump, and I told you, those of you who were listening then, Trump was not my first, second, or even third choice out of all the candidates. But when it came down to him against Hillary, it had to be Trump, mainly because of federal court appointments and especially Supreme Court appointments. I didn't want Hillary having that. Remember, Obama almost shoved Ruth Bader Ginsburg out of the door, trying to get her to leave early so he could appoint. She bet that Hillary would win. She lost the bet. Trump got to make her appointment as well. We have the status of various states as they began to move forward to either enact trigger laws or the state of Louisiana. A judge has now blocked three state laws that would ban virtually all abortions from taking a place today. But we'll bring you up to speed on that. And also the football coach that was praying at midfield lost his job. The Supreme Court says, no, that was wrong. And I say, amen. And lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So if a 13-year-old, though, in Arkansas is raped by a relative, that 13-year-old cannot get an abortion in Arkansas. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm not. I would have preferred a different outcome than that. But that's not the debate today in Arkansas. It might be in the future, but for now, the law triggered with only one exception. While you can debate whether there ought to be additional exceptions, every state's going to make a different determination on that under our Constitution. And this is going to continue to be discussed. But at this particular point, the only exception Arkansas is to save the life of the mother.
And that's not the only state that has that. Of several states that are considering restricting or banning abortions except to save the life of a mother. Now, the question was being posed by Chuck Todd on NBC Meet the Press of Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. And, of course, it's a compelling question. And it's one thing you might answer one way unless it were your child that were raped. Let's be honest. Let's be very directly honest about that. Because sometimes when you might have a view of something, but when it enters your family, your view could change. I remember one time discussing with a fellow news anchor about capital punishment. And saying, yeah, there's justifiable reasons in many cases for capital punishment. Not all. And her response was, well, you know, you just want to kill people. She said, no, I don't. I said, you don't think there's any crime that you think would be justifying capital punishment? She said, no, never, never, never. I said, so what if someone kidnapped your child and did horrible things to them repeatedly, so it was a mercy when the child died. That's not fair. That's not, you're making it too personal. That is the point. And an abortion is personal for the woman. That's why I say I truly pray that they are praying about it, not just deciding because it's an inconvenience or unplanned that they're going to abort the child. But then when you get to a case of incest or rape, here's where some that are pro-life begin to break apart. And it's understandable. Some are of the belief that the woman's already been victimized once, either through incest or rape. She shouldn't have to be victimized again by carrying the rapist's child. The other viewpoint is, it's still a child, it's still a life. And in fact, I mentioned in the opening, there is a group that was founded by survivors of abortion with that title. One includes a man who was the victim of a rape. I'm sorry, he was the child born of a rape. His mother decided not to abort, gave him up for adoption, and he says, I was adopted into a very loving family, and now I have my own family. I raise that point right now at this stage because too many people on both sides, you want to simply say it has to always be this way. Now, God's way is the only way, but we don't really understand God's way sometimes. We think we do. And preachers and theologians will tell us that they do. And other preachers and theologians will tell you that, no, what they said isn't right. I mean, you can argue about this all day long, but we're talking about the heartbeat. That's the main point. Do you have a heartbeat? Then it is a child. Now, if you're going to make an exception for an abortion, and you're going to do it on the basis of incest or rape, some might still consider you the same category as those who are going to abort simply because they can't afford a baby and a new car, or because they would be inconvenient for them. So when Chuck Todd asked that question of the Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, he knew exactly the button he was pushing. And Governor Hutchinson, to his point, said that's not the point right now. He said, I would like to see another outcome. In other words, he's suggesting maybe the woman who was the victim of rape or incest would bear the child, but then give it up for adoption. She might, but then again, she might become so attached and realize it's still my baby too. But that's for the woman to make that decision. So women's choice is not taken out on the abortion issue. And I remind you again, Roe v. Wade, by the court decision the other day, does not mean abortion ceased entirely in the U.S. They don't. Numerous states will continue to have them. Others do have trigger laws, which we'll get to in a moment, that will stop abortion or try to stop abortions as of today. But the question raised by Chuck Todd to Governor Asa Hutchinson, he then turned around and asked Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she's such a learned woman and such an intelligent source of information, what do you think of the governor's response?
The state of Arkansas and Governor Hutchinson governs over a state that has the third highest maternal mortality in the United States. 71% of the women who die are black women as well. This is a state that has 26% child poverty, where one in four children are living in extreme or are living in poverty in the state of Arkansas, and forcing women to carry pregnancies against their will kill them. It will kill them, especially in the state of Arkansas, where there is very little to no support for life after birth in terms of health care, in terms of child care, and in terms of combating poverty. This decision and this policy will kill people, no matter what their spin and what their talking points are.
And no matter what your spin and your talking points are, abortion also kills, most definitely, except in cases where the child survives. I don't know what number she's referring to entirely. I looked up the CDC numbers when she talked about Arkansas ranks as number third mortality rate. That's true, but it doesn't explain exactly why or how. So it doesn't really mean anything to me. And I was trying to look at racial breakdown. I was trying to look at age of sex and race and ethnicity. And I didn't have time to do all of it. But I did find this, that of the children ages 5 to 11, the percent, that's according to CDC, she wanted to quote them, ages 5 to 11 children who are in fair or poor health is 2%. Now, 2% is still way too much, as far as I'm concerned. Should be zero. In this country, no child should go to sleep hungry at night. I have known folks who have served as foster parents, and they quickly learned that it was not a good idea to serve them spaghetti and meatballs when they were taking care of them, because they would find the spaghetti and meatballs stuffed in pockets and so forth in the middle of the bed when they went to check on the child, because the child didn't know there'd be another meal coming, so they were taking everything they could. So no, it shouldn't happen at all for any child. But when I look at the deaths and I look at the health insurance, according to CDC, the percent of children under the age of 18 without health insurance, 4%. That's high. Again, I don't like that either. But then when I looked at the percent of children who have access to health care, usual health care, even if they don't have insurance, under the age of 18, 97.6% have health care available. One thing that this was decided the other day, as Senator Graham pointed out, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, that maybe they abortionists understand you don't have to resort to violence to get a court ruling, and when you get a court ruling you don't like, you shouldn't have to resort to violence.
Well, it's satisfying to know that through the constitutional process you can make a difference. You know, when Roe came out, we didn't burn down the Capitol as conservatives. We didn't go to liberal justices' homes and try to intimidate them. The radical left are constitutional anarchists. They're literally trying to change this country from top to bottom. They want to pack the court because they don't like this decision. They want to abolish the Electoral College so California and New York can pick the president in perpetuity. At the end of the day, they want to federalize elections, take it away from the states to make sure you have ballot harvesting and do away with voter IDs. So these constitutional anarchists, here's my advice to you. Quit trying to burn down America and work like we did in the fields. Elect people who agree with you at the ballot box.
That's a very good point. And elect them fairly. Nancy Pelosi says, yes, this November, even though it's a midterm election, candidate support may hinge upon how they side on the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
A woman's right to choose reproductive freedom is on the ballot in November. We cannot allow them to take charge so that they can institute their goal, which is to criminalize reproductive freedom. To criminalize.
Excuse me, I caught it. All right, I'm sorry, I caught a little cough there for a moment. By the way, prior to Roe v. Wade, it was criminalized everywhere. That's why there were the back alley abortions. But again, back to Senator Graham, he said what you also now you see them doing, the abortionists, are trying to say this is opening the door of a slippery slope. There are other things that now this court will run out of control off the roadway.
Well, I really respect Clarence Thomas. They tried to destroy him. Remember his confirmation process? They tried to destroy Kavanaugh. You know, Bush 41 stood by Clarence Thomas. President Trump stood by Kavanaugh, and here we are today. But Alito, I think, set the right tone. He said nothing in this decision puts those cases at risk. The reason he decided that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided is because it deals with the potential for life. These are the privacy issues like contraception do not deal with the potential for life. He made a distinction between same-sex marriage and contraception, which I think will win the day over time.
I think he's right about that, and again, that's the key point. Marriage between gays that doesn't involve killing a baby. Transgender stuff. There'll be more decisions, but it was very clear by Alito and his majority opinion, we're dealing only with the issue of abortion and Roe v. Wade. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of these states and where they stand now that were ready with trigger alerts the moment the court would make this kind of ruling that they can immediately cease abortions. Maybe with some restrictions, maybe with no restrictions. How's that happening? Or is it? We'll bring you back up to speed when we continue. Please stand by.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
For all of you who've been working for 50 years to elect members of the House and the Senate and presidents that would put constitutional conservatives on the court, your day finally arrived. And to the left, the way you do this is to do what we did. You take it to the ballot box. You don't try to destroy America. These constitutional anarchists like AOC have to be dealt with, and there will be a backlash against this effort to intimidate our judges.
Again, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican South Carolina, take it to the ballot box. Well, they are going to be doing that in several states, and one in particular coming up this August in Kansas. Let me brief you on that in just a moment. Numerous states, 13, have trigger laws in effect that were going to ban most abortions and take effect immediately or within weeks of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Now, a pro-abortion research group, rights research group, Guttmacher Institute, those states, Arkansas, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Wyoming, which just passed this trigger law in April. But, even though the leadership of Missouri the other day signed off on moving forward with stopping and banning abortions, the state of Louisiana is suddenly being blocked by a judge in Louisiana. The abortion restrictions were to take effect if the Supreme Court did overturn Roe v. Wade, which happened Friday. But an Orleans Parish Civil District Court judge issued a temporary block after abortion providers filed a lawsuit. They're represented by the Center for Reproductive Rights, and they say we should have a right to be heard before you stop it. There were numerous threats, of course, made, as we said, about those states and other states, an additional five states, Alabama, Arizona, Michigan, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, that still have an abortion ban on the books from before Roe v. Wade that went into effect. You got the Democrat governors of Wisconsin and Michigan pushing back against those laws. And that brings us to what's happening in Kansas. I'm going to get into this in more detail in the next segment. But Kansas had a case that they were dealing with that's now going to go to the public for a full public vote coming here August of this year. The issue involved a case where called Holds versus and Nasr versus Schmidt, the Kansas Supreme Court declared for the first time that the state constitution of Kansas provides a fundamental right to abortion. And that came after a lawsuit filed by two abortion providers who challenged a state law that criminalized dismemberment abortions. Dismemberment, of course, in which live fetuses are killed by being ripped apart limb by limb. That's pretty emphatic, and it sounds horrible and traumatic, doesn't it? And it is. You're going to talk about abortion, and you're going to be for it. You need to know exactly what happens. The baby just doesn't fail to wake up, become live. Often it's ripped apart, or saline is injected in to poison the child. It doesn't die immediately and without pain, which is always amazing to me. These folks out there that are all so big about, and I am too, for taking care of animals that have been injured and so forth. They're the same ones, many of them, also support. I see no problem with injecting a poison into a womb to kill a baby that's living at that point. Is there a contradiction there? I'd say yes. But they are this August going to have a vote in Kansas to allow the citizens to decide if they want to vote on what they call Value Them Both Amendment. It would be a vote for the Value Them Both Amendment would affirm there is no Kansas constitutional right to abortion or to require the government funding of abortion, and would reserve to the people of Kansas through their elected legislators the right to pass laws to regulate abortion. In other words, the state constitution would remain neutral on abortion, leave it to the decision of the people and their elected representatives of that state, which is the way it should be. And Kansas is very much pro-life. And that's where we stood with Roe v. Wade, being the law of the land, taking that right away from citizens. When we continue, the Constitution is a winner here, in addition to babies not yet born. And then the coach that wins a Supreme Court ruling. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before 1973, the law of the land was that each state can decide the issue of life when life begins, whether or not to have an abortion, what circumstances around having an abortion. All of us in the conservative world have believed that there's nothing in the Constitution giving the federal government the right to regulate abortion. There's nothing in the Constitution that creates a right to abortion as a constitutional principle. This was judge-made, out-of-cloth law. Now, what this court has done is taken us back to pre-1973, where each state can decide through their elected officials when life begins and how to treat life. And this is a huge victory for the pro-life movement.
And we know, of course, again, that's Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina. This is a huge victory for pro-life movement. But we also know, that blue states are going to ramp up protections for their abortion in their states. Then we have the issue that the Planned Parenthood is already offering help getting people from a state that might not provide an abortion to a state that does provide an abortion. And you've got mega corporations now buying into this, just like they did Black Lives Matter, which stole basically who knows how many millions of dollars going into private pockets. Well, we know to at least buy four or five multi-million dollar homes for one of the founders. She's got hers. Tough for you. She's out of the struggle. And pride, forcing companies to put pride on anything and everything. Even having, and the Boy Scouts being pulled into it, where they stood and watched a nude bicyclist race go by them the other day. While they're standing there holding pride flags along with the U.S. flag and Boy Scouts of America flag. And the corporate pressure is increasing now on what can we do to help women who need an abortion to get to another state. Walt Disney's already stepping forward, the Walt Disney Company, I should say. They've sent out a memo. They're going to offer travel reimbursements for abortions. One of their employees said, do they not get it? Do they not understand this is backfiring and blowing up in their face? No, they don't, because you still have these liberals out there, the far-left liberals, that are going to continue to shove everything up your nose and into your mouth until you cannot breathe at all, until you breathe in what they want you to breathe in. And, of course, the whole issue about this current court is, you know, maybe we need to expand the number of courts. We need to pack it. We need to add more judges. So what, now that we have a Senate that we can control, at least until January, the election would be in November, but even if they hold tight, which I don't think they're going to, they would have the ability through the date of inauguration of new members to continue to pass legislation that would pack the court or anything else they want. And Senator Elizabeth Warren, one of the great outspoken, well, the great outspoken Pinocchio Award candidates for my file, says this Supreme Court has destroyed everything.
I do know this, that the Republicans have been very overt about trying to get people through the court who didn't have a published record on Roe, but who they knew, wink, wink, nod, nod, were going to be extremists on the issue of Roe versus Wade. And that is exactly what we have ended up with. This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had after their gun decision, after their voting decision, after their union decision. They just took the last of it and set a torch to it with the Roe versus Wade opinion. I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
I see. You don't want confidence. You want more justices. You don't want law. You want to control votes. More justices does not mean a better reading of the Constitution. And not with the ones you're going to put. You're talking about burning. How about this West Virginia historic Catholic church that burned to the ground over the weekend? Been on the historical register since the 1984. Some might decide, you know what, there's a good symbol to burn down, show the Catholics abortion is, should have what they want. You don't hear any condemnation from the left on that. You probably want to hear, see that story on the state-controlled media. And here you have Elizabeth Warren insisting that this court has basically burned down the Constitution. What we are going to see, and Margot Cleveland pointed out in a piece for the Federalist, we're going to start seeing a push on the lower courts. They are now going, and they've already started, as I mentioned to you earlier, in Louisiana, where a judge was brought in to temporarily block three state laws that would ban all abortions from taking effect as of today. So the state had a trigger law in effect, ready to do it, and they're going to do it in every state. They're going to go forward and ask for appeals and at least delay. But what she, Margot Cleveland wrote for the Federalist, she's her senior legal advisor. She said, in overturning Roe and Casey was restore the Constitution's neutrality to the issue of abortion, return the authority to address the issue through the processes of democratic self-government established by the Constitution to the people. But she says the abortion lobby and the extreme abortionist left do not want the people to have a say. They've been working for years to ensure if Roe v. Wade ever were overturned, abortion on demand would remain the law of the land, and they've been appointing active state court judges for years. And she says that's why you need to be aware of those who appoint judges in your own state. That's why also the president, Senate, also need to be considered, because they will be confirming, appointing and nominating, confirming appellate court judges. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, says these people on the left, they only care, in many cases, about hate. Not life, not love. They'll tell you they're talking love, but it's not. It's hate, and especially if you don't agree with them, that you can't just be friends. You can't have a discussion. We're going to hate you. And we're going to do what we can to destroy you, Congressman Jordan.
But it was also a victory over the intimidation tactics of the left. Never forget the pattern here. I mean, it started with the Kavanaugh confirmation, all the crazy things they did. Then it was Schumer on the steps of the Supreme Court saying all the ridiculous things he said. It was Jerry Nadler introducing a bill to pack the court. It was the intimidation tactics they tried to use against Justice Thomas and his wife. And, of course, then it was the leak of the draft opinion. It was a hearing the Judiciary Committee had on this subject matter pending in front of the court on the abortion issue. And then, of course, that was the assassination attempt on a sitting United States Supreme Court justice. But none of that mattered. The court did the right thing, and they said the Constitution means what it says, and we got a victory for life.
A victory for life. But they're not going to simply give up and go away. Again, back to this Federalist article by Margot Cleveland. She said, just as elections matter on the federal level, as I was discussing a moment ago, in determining the composition of the U.S. Supreme Court, you got to pay attention to your state level for governors who might appoint the justices and the justices themselves. Politicians and staff responsible for vetting or appointing justices need to take that responsibility more seriously. And just as now many parents are realizing we need to take our school board members closer view, inspection, vetting before we simply sign off on them getting on the school board. And she says, finally, politicians and pro-life advocates must educate the public on the value of allowing abortion policy to be decided by legislative process instead of by judicial fiat. In other words, by simple rule of a judge, not elected, but has a nose ring tied to abortion groups that yank it from time to time. She's right. And you need to keep that in mind. Elections do have consequences. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour because they are so quick to blame Trump. But they have problems inside their own ranks they are absolutely ignoring. I'm not going to ignore it. But coming up in the next segment, victory for a football coach and his team didn't even take the field, in a way.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This Supreme Court handed a big win today to a former Washington High School football coach. He lost his job because he was praying on the 50-yard line after the games. If you've been to some pro football games, you often see players gather on their own out in the middle of the field, shaking hands and so forth, and then some of them gather in a circle, get down on one knee, and you can tell they're praying, sometimes holding hands. They just finished competing and battling for whatever prize it was at stake at that particular game, in addition to just one win. But here they are recognizing we're all children of God, and let's thank Him for our health, and that we came through it, and our teammates did, and whatever was on their heart at the time. I've been waiting for activists to be making noise over that and to frighten the National Football League to cower in the corner like a little wimpy mouse. How dare you allow these players to take a knee to pray? Well, the Supreme Court took a look at this high school football coach, Joe Kennedy, a junior varsity head coach, varsity assistant coach with a school district in Washington State, from 2008-2015. He began the practice of reciting a post-game prayer by himself. Eventually, some students started joining him. According to court documents, it evolved into motivational speeches that included religious themes. An opposing coach brought it to the principal's attention. Why would he do that? Not even his school. Why would he care? Well, because never let a crisis go to waste. The principal then, of course, had to report to the school district. The school district then told him he had to stop. He did temporarily and notified the school that, "I'm going to resume this." It got some media attention. He said, "I'm going to go back to praying on the field." It raised some security concerns. And when he did pray after the game, a number of people would storm the field in support of him. Then the district offered to let him pray in other locations before and after the games, offering to pray on the 50-yard line after everyone left, but he refused, saying, "I want to continue this." Did it two more times, they placed him on leave. Their reasoning was if they allowed their employee to pray on the field at a school game, it would violate the First Amendment establishment clause separating church and state. That was their argument. The majority opinion issued by the court today, that reasoning was misguided. Both the free exercise and free speech clauses, of the First Amendment protect expression like Mr. Kennedy's, nor does a proper understanding of the amendment's establishment clause require the government to single out private religious speech for special disfavor. Gorsuch stated, the Constitution, not just the Constitution, but, quote, the best of our traditions call for mutual respect and tolerance, not censorship and suppression, for religious and non-religious views alike. He also wrote the First Amendment doubly protects religious speech, and it's no accident it does. It is a natural outgrowth of the framers' distrust of government attempts to regulate religion and suppress dissent. And the court said it's not a government speech. His prayer is not a government speech, even though he's a government employee. His words, quote, were not pursuant to government policy. He was not seeking to convey a government-created message. He was not acting in the normal scope of his duties because the game was over. He was not even providing instruction or game strategy. He prayed at a time when he was free to do other things, like attend to personal matters. And in this case, it was personal to him that he dropped to his knee and thanked God for the health of his team and the other team and the kids and welfare. And Justice Alito, in a concurring opinion, noted that the coach prayed, quote, while at work, but during a time when a brief lull in his duties apparently gave him a few moments to engage in private activities. He'd already voluntarily discontinued school traditional locker room prayers and post-game religious talks to students, so he did back off of that. But he insisted, I still have a right to pray on the 50-yard line if that's where I want to pray when the game's over. And the court said, yes, you do. Protected. Riddle me this. If Hillary Clinton had been appointed or been elected president, of course, she still thinks she was. It was stolen from her, but you're not allowed to say stolen if you're conservative. But if she were, Roe v. Wade would be just as it were, and this coach would be absolutely slandered for praying. How dare you? Oh, you can take a knee on the field for the flag, but you can't take a knee for God. There's something wrong there. Don't miss our second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.